More and more rural people would like to work at home as teleworkers, and the Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, has given the concept of teleworking her stamp of approval. She says she wants to see 12% of the Australian public service regularly working from home using broadband by 2020. Shortly, I'll be getting an overview of teleworking opportunities for rural Australians, but first, let's find out what life is actually like for a rural teleworker. Vaughan Klein is a worker based in Wellington in Western New South Wales. Vaughan, welcome to Bush Telly.
Thanks very much, Cameron. Lovely to be here with you.
What do you actually do, Vaughan?
So I work for a multinational communications company that's headquartered out of San Jose and has a presence in all of the major states here in Australia.
And they also have a presence in Wellington.
They do, here in Wellington, New South Wales. I work from home, well, at least 40% of the time. I'm certainly home today, Mondays and Fridays, and then where I need to be on Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays. But minimum of 40% of my time now is at home.
Okay. Wellington. And Wellington, tell us about it. What is it, a good four-hour drive from Sydney?
It's a good four-hour drive. 4 hours if you've got your foot down. 4.5 to 5, usually.
Okay. And what sort of opportunities are there for work in the region?
Oh, look, I think it's fair to say the major employer in Wellington would be government opportunities, so particularly the Department of Education, you know, teachers and teachers' aides, catchment management authority, those sorts of things. There's not a lot of opportunity for corporate workers. You know, it would be a government-based opportunity, I would say, would be the biggest employer.
Okay. Tell me about how your situation came about, because, what, you used to work in Sydney, didn't you?
I did. 2 years ago, I was still living in Sydney on the North Shore there. But I'd grown up out here in Wellington, grown up on a farm out here. And I've got 3 children, a 7-year-old boy and 2 girls aged 4 and 3. And I'd always wanted to get them back home and raise them in the district. And as my oldest approached sort of school age, that provided a catalyst to see what was possible. So I approached my employer, Cisco, and said to them, you know, can we create an environment where we use teleworking, but we do it, you know, I suppose to an extreme level where, you know, I'm not based in Sydney and working from home there. I'm actually based in Wellington. And the answer is, it's no different. It wouldn't matter if I was sitting in a suburb of Sydney or sitting here in Wellington. The concept of teleworking and the availability of broadband technologies makes it just as possible here as anywhere.
But is it all good news? Like, is it just a case of you work as before, but now your family gets to live in open spaces in the country where you want them? Or is there a bit of a price to pay at your end as well?
No, I'd say for me, it's a much better equation, not a price to pay, in terms of my ability to be with the family and the environment that I would like them to be in. You know, wasn't possible 3 or 4 years ago. You know, it's only become possible now, and it provides me and, you know, anybody like-minded who wants to live in rural and regional Australia with the opportunity to put, you know, a corporate organisation and a corporate salary, I suppose, into a farm environment, which is, you know, fantastic.
Mm. But if you said you do about 40% of your time at home, it must mean there's considerably more travel now when you need to get to Sydney or any other part of Australia.
Right, okay, so fair enough, yeah. I do travel down. So for me, if I'm away sort of Tuesday through Thursday, I'll go where I'm needed on Tuesday morning, and I'll be away Tuesday and Wednesday night, and I'll be home by Thursday night. So I spend 2 nights a week away from the family. So I suppose there is that to consider in the mix-up for us in terms of, you know, what it provides us. That seems like, you know, a reasonable equation to give up 2 nights to be here.
Okay, so it's worth it. The trade-off's worth it.
The trade-off's worth it. And I suppose even if I was in Sydney, you know, if I'm going to be travelling, that could be in Adelaide or it could be in Perth. And so, you know, the net equation is there's probably 1 night extra a week compared to sort of 2, which is what it was working from here.
Mm. I take it Wellington would be happy to have had you as well. We always hear about country towns that are welcoming of people with young families in particular.
Oh, they've been tremendous, yeah. The local community's been excellent. And I think, you know, Wellington, like a lot of smaller towns throughout Australia and rural regional Australia, have struggled a little bit in terms of trying to keep their population going. And so, you know, they're very, very welcoming of people that, you know, are moving into the district. And more than that, I think, you know, for little towns and your listeners that are associated with them, it's a case of, you know, all hands to the pump for people to run, you know, the little athletics or the point scoring system or the local soccer club, or in my wife's instance, she's president of the local daycare centre upon arriving. She's vice president of the PNC. You know, people are required to keep these things moving, and so people coming into the district's a good thing for us and for the community.
Mm. Stay with us, Vaughan. I want to come back to you in a moment. That's Vaughan Klein, a rural teleworker based in Wellington in Western New South Wales. Vaughan was not so keen on the North Shore of Sydney, so moved the family and his job to Wellington. Corey Fisher's also with me. Corey's the managing director of Colmar Brunton Social Research, and they've done some research looking at the demand and the opportunity for teleworkers around Australia. G'day, Corey.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, good, good. Tell me a little bit about the research you've been doing.
All right, so we were commissioned by the Department of Broadband Communications and Digital Economy to model the impact of NBN-enabled teleworking on the participation rate. The simple way of explaining that is how many jobs are going to be created once NBN-enabled teleworking rolls out.
And how many people want to do them, I imagine, as well.
Look, yeah, there's two parts to the equation. There's the demand side, what kinds of workers and indeed people not in the labour force would like to have a teleworking opportunity, and the other side of the equation is the supply side, which is how many employers like Cisco and are going to enable that sort of opportunity to happen.
Okay, let's talk about the demand first. Does your research tell you that plenty of people are like the idea of being a teleworker from home?
Oh, look, definitely. We found it across pretty much every audience that we spoke to, including in regional and remote Australia. I think we found that 70% of the people we spoke to in regional and remote Australia were very interested in a teleworking opportunity.
What about the employers? Do they show the same level of interest?
This research, and I guess that's a bit of an unanswered question at the moment. We haven't gone out and conducted a lot of research with employers as yet. I think the indications are that they're, you know, less excited about the idea at the moment, but that with time and technology, there's no reason why that can't change.
Do you have any idea why they are a little less excited?
Well, I think most employers in the research that I've conducted over a long period of time is that they like to keep doing things the way they've done them before. So any change can be a little bit confronting, and this sort of technology and this sort of employment arrangement is something that's they're going to have to be educated a little bit about and brought along the journey a little bit.
Vaughan, you mentioned earlier that you put the proposal forward to your employer. Mm-hmm. Were they reluctant at all?
No, I have to say they were very good. I mean, they understood that we were going to be pushing things. They kind of went, why don't we trial this? Why don't we see how it goes? And so we conducted a six-month trial, but they embraced that, the need for a trial, very readily. And then at the end of the six-month period, you know, given the fact that there was, you know, productivity outcomes and quality of work, and, you know, staff were happy with the outcome, then it was easy.
I wonder if you think you would be able to be working in this situation if you were just starting with Cisco. Was it important that you had this relationship with your employer already? They knew who you were and what your work habits were like.
Well, what we've done now is we've actually put it in as policy. We have a teleworking policy that can commence on day one. In fact, we've got some people, you know, who don't come to the office at all. They're 5 days, you know, from their home. They telework in 5 days. So, no, once you get the policy piece right and the organisation has a cultural adaptation to it, then yeah, it's for anybody working at Cisco.
Corey, we keep using this term teleworking. What's the actual definition?
Oh, look, I think teleworking at its broadest level is working anywhere other than the office. The definition that the government is using, and for the purposes of this study, we defined it as a formal arrangement with their employer to work from home at least 1 day per week.
On Bush Telegraph, my guests so far have been Corey Fisher, the Canberra Managing Director of Colmar Brunton Social Research. You've also heard from Vaughan Klein, a rural teleworker based in Wellington in Western New South Wales. Also with me is Abul Rizvi, who's Deputy Secretary of the Department of Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy. Abul, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. We've heard this stated goal from the Prime Minister of 12% of the public service to work as teleworkers. How can that actually be done?
At the moment, Cameron, our estimates suggest that around 4% of APS workers telework, And to get to 12%, we do face quite a challenge. And the first step in that challenge is going to be to trial teleworking across a range of agencies during 2013 using high-speed broadband. And the question is, can the quality of the broadband, when it's improved, give employers and employees sufficient confidence that telework will be suitable for a wider range of job opportunities?
Are these trials to be held in rural areas as well as cities?
That's correct, Cameron. It will take place in for staff who are located anywhere in the NBN footprint. And initially, as you know, most of the NBN has been rolling out in regional areas.
So does that mean in the initial stages, at least, do you think rural Australians will have just as much opportunity to be part of this 12% of the public service workforce to work as teleworkers?
I think the point Vaughan makes is very much so in that regard. It doesn't matter where you live as long as you've got adequate communications technology to be able to undertake the job.
Vaughan, how's the communications around Wellington?
So I have two connections to my home. I have the NBN satellite service, the interim satellite service, and I also have an antenna mounted on my roof, which hits a 3G tower about 25 kilometres away, and that enables me to do, you know, real-time, high-definition video conferencing, which enables me to see anybody that I need to see from an office environment or even, you know, my customers and clients, and that does a good job.
But you need that reliability. You need both options, do you, to make sure you never have a blackout?
So I would agree with that. The NBN satellite service is very reliable, very consistent, although the nature of satellite means that it has a thing called latency. It takes a bit of time to go to the satellite and back. But the 3G service has a greater variability, and so I definitely need the satellite service.
Abul, that satellite service is, there's 7% of the population in rural Australia that's going to have a slower service than the fibre to the home NBN. Is it likely to mean that that 7% will not have the same opportunities to do this sort of telework?
The government's commitment in terms of the NBN is that everyone, irrespective of where they live, will have a minimum service that equates to 12 megabits per second download speed and 1 megabit per second upload. I think as people access the fixed wireless service, which around 4% of people in regional Australia will get, they will see that that is a dramatic improvement on what they can access at the moment and will very much cater for multi-party high-definition video.
Yeah, but if you have a city-based teleworker that gets 100 meg, aren't they going to struggle to compete with that?
I guess it's a question of what your job needs and whether the wireless service is good enough for that particular job. And I think in the vast majority of instances, that wireless service will be good enough.
If we foster this culture of accepting teleworkers, and I wonder if you think there might be some way to go yet, is there still a belief among some people that if you work from home, you sit around in your PJs and take it easy all day? If we do foster this culture, does it mean ultimately we could be losing more jobs to overseas? If the technology's there and the willingness to embrace off-site workers, why not just have employees or contractors that are at the cheapest rate offshore rather than in rural Australia?
I think that's a very good question, Cameron, and you're certainly hitting the nail on the head there about how competitive the call centre business in particular is. But I do think telework enabled by high-speed broadband makes Australia more competitive in that space. If you look at it from the perspective of the call centre operator, in general they can get someone who is more productive if they have the person working from home. They can reduce the costs of office accommodation. They can reduce the costs of staff turnover. And in call centres, staff turnover is a massive cost. It is not unusual for a call centre to experience turnover of 25% per annum or higher. And finally, they can access more skilled staff. And I think those factors will make telework for call centre companies much, much more attractive and will enable them to compete much more effectively with overseas call centre operators.
Cameron, one thing I'd add to that was, just to turn it on its head a little bit, is that, yes, there will be probably a bit more competition for jobs once this technology is available and once these employment opportunities are available. But that also opens up people in regional and remote Australia to opportunities all over the world. Australia is actually lagging behind a little bit in terms of rolling out these sorts of, or creating this sort of teleworking opportunities. But once we have this these internet speeds, there's no reason why someone living in Wellington, New South Wales, can't be working for someone anywhere else in the world, not just Australia.
Yeah, or San Jose, for Vaughan's example.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's Corey Fisher, who's the Canberra Managing Director of Coleman Brunton Social Research. You've also heard from Abul Rizvi, who is Deputy Secretary of the Department of Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy. Also with me is Rebecca Burgess, a rural teleworker based in the WA Wheatbelt. Thanks for holding on there, Rebecca. Nice to have you along.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you do?
I actually work for a company called Regional Development Australia Wheatbelt, which is a small not-for-profit organisation funded by the Australian government. And our role is basically to work with communities and across all levels of government to grow and strengthen our regions by identifying and addressing priority regional issues.
How's your internet speed there?
It's not great at the moment, but I have high hopes for the NBN rollout.
How will the NBN rollout, or how do you hope it will change your working life?
Well, look, we already use teleworking, and so I have a staff of 12, and we all work from home. I guess at the moment some of our limitations are that we can't use like Skype and document sharing, Dropbox and those types of things, as well as we would like to. So it would enable us to utilise those kind of technologies more than what we currently can. It will also enable us to reduce, or I'm hoping to reduce, the amount of physical travel we have to do, because we'll be able to use things like video conferencing.
Is working from home, is it as good as it sounds, or does it have challenges from your end?
It does have its challenges in the sense that it is hard to switch off sometimes. So I find personally that I'll be at work much earlier than I probably would if I was travelling to an office. And you also find that people don't have those limitations around a 9-to-5 office. They will call me at 7 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night. So
there's an assumption that you'll be there and willing to take the call, is it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Is it isolating at all?
It's not, and the reason for that is because I'm on the road quite a lot, so I'm always interacting with people. I'm connected with the rest of my team through email, phone, those sorts of things, and we actually make an effort to get together physically and have team meetings at least once every 2 months. So we do see each other as often as we can manage.
Vaughan, so you and Rebecca both spend a bit of time on the road. For you, Vaughan, is it important to have that sense of still being connected physically with the people you work with?
Yes, I think the answer is certainly I enjoy that aspect of the role in terms of being, you know, physically in front of somebody and conducting the conversations in the business that I'm in. I just think, however, with video, you know, it's not... If I didn't have video communications, the job would be substantially harder. So even when I'm not physically there, I can still see somebody and conduct that thing. If I was here without the ability to get a visual communication stream, I would feel a lot more isolated.
So you'd struggle if you had Rebecca's internet services?
I would find that more difficult, most certainly. Mm.
Rebecca, what's your... For people, particularly people in rural Australia that might be listening to this thinking, you know, in the years ahead we're really going to have the chance to tap into new areas of work or start new businesses and the like, what would be your main words of advice to them, having been there and done it yourself?
Yeah, look, I think one of the things that I've noticed, particularly in our region, is that there's still a reluctance or a lack of understanding about what teleworking means. People have a fear that if you let people work from home, that they will slack off, not be doing what they're meant to be doing, that sort of thing. And from what I've found, my staff members are incredibly productive. They do a fantastic job. I have no concerns about their level of dedication. So I think people just need to be willing to give it a go, and they will realise the benefits of it pretty quickly.
Well, we'll see in the years ahead, sooner rather than later, given the Prime Minister's commitment, how it all unfolds. Nice talking to you, all of you. Thank you, Rebecca. Rebecca Burgess, rural teleworker based in the WA Wheatbelt. Also a big thanks to Vaughan Klein, who is a teleworker based in Wellington in Western New South Wales. And Abul and Corey, thank you to both of you as well. Appreciate you coming along today. Corey Fisher is the Canberra Managing Director of Coleman Brunton Social Research, and Abul Rizvi is Deputy Secretary of the Department of Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy. Let us know what you think. If you're interested in teleworking in rural Australia, or if you've given it a go, how's it worked for you?